It's summertime, and at my bookie, that can only mean one thing. It's winning season. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means free bets, super contests, Survivor, and more. At my bookie, winning season is all about your chance to win big. Bet the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball, UFC, and then some. The craziest sports summer of your lifetime is here. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash. Invest in your intuition. Select from hundreds of future bets, or you can bet games in real time with MyBookie's live betting. Put that big brain of yours to good use. Use promo code BASEBALLAMERICA and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Thousands of cross-sport wagers, props, and parlays await. Sign up now to bet with the best and celebrate your victory. Your winning season begins today, only at MyBookie.
Hey everyone, JJ Cooper, Josh Norris joining you on another Baseball America podcast sponsored by MyBookie. Josh and I are here today to kind of say farewell to a 2020 minor league season that wasn't, unfortunately. That's where we are right now. September 12th, Saturday this week, would have been the end of the Pioneer League regular season. The final Pioneer League always has run long, so the final regular season. We would normally at this time of year be knee-deep in minor league playoffs. We would be talking about, you know, seasons. Hey, this year we actually would not have any minor league seasons that would have been knocked out by a hurricane, as often kind of seems to take the Carolina League or the Southern League or the Florida State League playoffs and wraps them up.
But on the West Coast, we wouldn't be having a lot of playoffs. I'll tell you that.
That is a good point. You make a very good point on the West Coast. You're right.
There would be almost certainly no Northwest League playoffs. I believe last check, I saw that the Eugene, Kaiser area, their air quality was like 400 to 500 when like 200 is unhealthy or maybe even below that. You get pictures, and everybody who listens to this podcast knows I'm from that area originally, so I get pictures from my family, and it looks like something out of Independence Day or Mars Attacks.
Blade Runner is the one that, you know, for the older people among the audience.
It's just surreal. Like it's yellow. It's, you know, I told my friend today that it looked like it was about to pour there, and clearly it's not. Suffice it to say, there would almost certainly be no Northwest League playoffs, and I don't know quite the distribution or who would have made the playoffs in the California League or the Pioneer League, quite frankly. It would have been a bit of a wild card, so we would have definitely been missing out on some playoffs, even if COVID were just a bad Scrabble hand instead of a disease that's kind of racked the country.
But Josh, you had a piece up today at baseballamerica.com kind of looking at, I've been obviously covering a lot of what's happening in the negotiations for 2021 and beyond, but you had a piece kind of talking about the reality of the now when it comes to minor league teams. And
right.
And as we say farewell to a season that wasn't, but not only that, but as we still look ahead to a season of uncertainty ahead. So, you know, what did you kind of find as you talked to people kind of around the game?
Well, yeah, I mean, what I had intended to talk to them about, and some of those interviews for that story were done in like May or maybe even April, that we're doing, we don't know what's next, you know, since you've been doing all this reporting, there's no, it hasn't been settled yet. Who's in what league and which teams are in and which teams are out. So naturally, you can't make a schedule. We don't even know who's going to make the schedule, since if you've been following this stuff for the last couple of days, the minor league offices are in the process of kind of being dismantled. You know, Pat O'Connor has announced his retirement. Some other executives from in that office have taken other jobs. Normally, those schedules, by and large, would be made by Johns Hopkins. But I don't know if that's going to be the case this year or if somebody at MLB is going to wind up doing that if and when they take over the minor leagues. What?
I would assume that I am pretty confident in saying, assuming that Major League Baseball takes over running of the minors, which at this point seems like a fait accompli. I would say that one of the things they do with that is they take over the responsibilities of the minor league baseball office. And one of those things has been doing, you know, league or and the responsibilities of the league president. So MLB has the capability of doing schedules. I would expect that they probably will be doing the schedules for minor leagues. And
right,
to be honest, Major League Baseball right now is the only ones who could be working in advance on those schedules, because Major League Baseball has some awareness of what the leagues are likely to look like, the structures and all that, and doesn't give them every piece of information they need, because you need to know what dates are off limits for which teams and all that. But it means that they're a little further along in the process than anyone else can be right now.
For sure. I mean, in my piece, I point out in normal times, teams would have had this months ago, in August in some cases, and even earlier in some cases. You have to start printing up your pocket schedules and planning stuff for next year and all that. And they just cannot do that. And so it, for some teams, it's even more difficult, because if you're in the Northwest League, you don't know if you're full season or half season. So you really don't know if you're an executive in one of those scenarios, what you're going to do. And that affects the way you sell, the way you book events for your park, the way you might have future or existing agreements. One executive in a short season league pointed out that they have a college baseball tournament scheduled to be at their park for certain dates. And if they're a full season team, well, that's going to be mighty difficult. So you've got executives around the country who are in a bind until someone tells them exactly what their status is. And, you know, we started this podcast talking about the Pioneer League, since they go a little longer than everybody else, but that might have been their final bow if they had been playing. You know, it's been widely reported that they're probably on the chopping block if this streamlining and realignment goes through. So they didn't get to say farewell to their fans. Granted, you know, as you've reported, it doesn't necessarily mean baseball is going away, but affiliated baseball might be. And, you know, if you want to be a fan of the Billings Mustangs or the Ogden Raptors or the Great Falls Voyagers, you know, you probably would have gotten a really, really good crowd, especially in the last couple of days, trying to see that team's last regular season game. And that won't happen this year. Then to be fair, it's really nobody's fault that it won't happen this year. There's a lot of things that I think a lot of angry fans can blame on MLB and MI, not really MILB, but MLB at this point. But COVID is not one of them. Let's be fair here. So I think we all realize it's been an incredibly rough year all around, and this is just one of the many thorns in this sticker bush that is 2020.
As guys, so much of our identity is wrapped up in our hair. From how it feels after getting a fresh cut to the way it's perfectly styled before going out. That's why when we get into our 20s and 30s and start noticing the first signs of hair loss, it definitely feels like panic time. Because let's face it, no guy is ever ready to go bald. Thankfully, now there's Keeps, the simple and easy way to keep your hair. Did you know 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35? The best way to prevent hair loss is to do something about it while you still have hair left. You can get treated from home, too. You used to have to go to the doctor's office for your hair loss prescription. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get hair loss medication delivered right to your home. They make it easy and deliver your medication every 3 months, so you can say goodbye to pharmacy checkout lines and awkward doctor's visits. Keeps also offers generic versions of the only 2 FDA-approved hair loss products out there. You may have tried them before, but probably never for this price. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/baseballamerica to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/baseballamerica.
And the reality of it is that, and I've had this conversation with multiple MILB operators, owners, there is no, right now, everyone is starting to wrap their brain around that there is no 100% assurance that 2021 will begin as a normal season. Not that There is, I would say, no one that I've talked to is thinking about the possibility that there would be a shortened season or whatever where they won't be able to play, period, or anything like that. But what I'm saying is that there's a lot of concern that come next April, maybe it will not be full capacity that teams will be allowed to do. Maybe it will be, you know, much more of a reduced capacity like we've seen, you know, some of the indie leagues that have been playing during the summer, you know, the up in the Midwest, especially in some areas, you know, then that maybe it will be like that, which obviously affects minor league baseball teams as well, because as I've said probably a dozen times through this pandemic, the MILB business model revolves around, you're going to have plenty of nights where social distancing for most teams is not a big deal at all, because there's, you know, very few fans in there on a Tuesday night in April. That's not a problem. But the MILB business model does revolve around, it's a big Friday night, we've got fireworks after the game, and you're hoping to bring, you know, to put the bring in the crowd and be at 75, 95, or 105% of capacity when you count the berm, which allows you to go beyond capacity in some ways. And there is no guarantee right now. We hope that that's where we will be come April of next year, but there's no guarantee. And if that's the case, it makes the economics of 2021 difficult on top of the utterly impossible economics of 2020.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. There's there were teams at the beginning of this when it wasn't, you know, 100% clear that the season was going to get called off, that put out seating manifests and, you know, distancing rules and all that stuff, just in case things took a turn for the better and people were allowed in. Well, that obviously didn't happen, but those plans still exist. And you can, if your municipality allows in, you know, 25% capacity or what have you, you might have those plans in hand. So it's not like they're going to be caught off guard, but it's still going to stink. As you mentioned, minor league baseball, unlike major league baseball, is dependent entirely on putting butts in the seats. MLB can get by somewhat on television revenue, but MILB does not have television revenue, more or less. There's a couple teams that have games here and there, but by and large, it's either MILB TV or bust, and that's not going to cut it. So, you know, I talked to an operator early in this process that said, you know, his team stadium, I think it's like 6,000 or something. Under the regulations at the time, they would have been like in the mid three figures, what they would have been, what a sellout would have counted. If you watched the Lansing Lugnuts and their Lemonade League, like they would report sellouts as like 100 people, 200 people. And you know, that's not going to be great if that's what you're looking at in April 2021. If your sellout is three figures, well, boy, you better hope they buy a lot of hot dogs, like a lot of hot dogs, because otherwise you're still not putting a whole lot of drops in the bucket of the 2020 problem. This is going to affect teams for years on end. So, and it's just, there's not a lot of light at the end of this tunnel.
Two other things with that to watch for. One is that MILB teams have been hopeful that they may get some financial help from the government as part of a much larger package, that there may be we wrote about this at baseballamerica.com a month and a half ago, but there are a pair of bills that were working their way through Congress. One was about basically low interest, low cost loans for teams, for clubs, for not just clubs, but for anyone who operated in a municipally owned large facility, which obviously minor league baseball teams would apply. But there was another bill going through Congress that was really aimed at kind of like restaurant, it was based off of the more revenue that you lost because of coronavirus, the more that you would benefit from it. And And basically, that both of those have not really kind of made much progress right now, because there's not really much progress on an overall big picture coronavirus response going through Congress right now. So that was something that, if it went through, either of those would provide some significant benefits for minor league teams, but those haven't gone through. But obviously, the other thing that we should focus on that's coming is we're sitting here recording this on September 11th, 9/11, which obviously is a very significant day in U.S. history that we remember. But as we look ahead, September 30th, the current professional baseball agreement between Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball expires. And right now, it's been reduced down to two possibilities. Again, the retirement of Pat O'Connor, the fact that Minor League Baseball's offices, St. Pete, basically people are know that their jobs are almost assuredly coming to an end. It is now a situation where either there is going to be a negotiated agreement between Major League Baseball and the Minor League Baseball Negotiating Committee, or there will be a MLB developed system that will be put in place after September 30th, you know, early October, let's say. And with that, I think we should say, if you ask me what are those two systems, would they look like? The answer is they're going to look very similar. Either there's going to, I would expect there to be some system where MLB's proposal that they have given to Minor League Baseball, some form of that, maybe with some tweaks, is adopted and approved by minor league owners, or MLB will impose a system that will look an awful lot like the system that they have proposed to minor league baseball owners and say, if you want to join us, come join us. And that will happen in October or whatever. But I guess the that's the long-winded way of saying this is going to be resolved sometime, I would expect, relatively soon. I don't expect that we're going to be talking in November saying, well, they haven't come to agreement, but the two sides keep talking. I would expect that you're going to hear something in the next month or so, and which will start to provide some finality over and some answers for what 2021 looks like. And we've written a lot about this, again, a lot of referencing to baseballamerica.com, but if you go to baseballamerica.com, we've written a lot about this, obviously, but we've also written about some of the questions that fans have, because one thing that does stand out to me about this is, and I understand this, is we get a lot of questions from fans that are alarmist. You know, so does this mean that no team will have affiliates anymore? So minor league teams will just be filled of random assemblages of players, you know, the Iowa Cubs will no longer have Cubs prospects. They'll just have a random assemblage. No, that's one thing I feel like the need to explain on this pretty much every time I talk about this on minor league, you know, about minor league baseball, MLB negotiations on the podcast. If the team that you attend is one of the 120 that remains an affiliate of baseball going forward, the affiliate that your team has may change. In some cases, the league that they're in may change. But when it comes to what it's like to go to the ballpark and what the team is comprised of, that won't really be any different. The analogy that I've tried to explain to people is from that standpoint, it'll be very much like if a minor league team that you follow has switched affiliates at some point. They were a Cleveland affiliate and they became an Atlanta affiliate or whatever. Okay, well, yeah, then the team providing the players changed. But other than that, the game day experience is still the same. The front office is still the same. I had people ask, does this mean that MLB is going to be selecting minor league baseball broadcasters, radio announcers? No, that will still be picked by the minor league front office. The minor league front office, these minor league teams will still be owned individually. They're not going to be taken over by Major League Baseball in this process. This is taking over Major League Baseball, handling the operations end that Minor League Baseball St. Pete and that league presidents in all the 16 different leagues have done in the past.
Right. I mean, you gave an example that sounded suspiciously like the Carolina Mudcats, which since I've been at BA, I've been Indians and Braves and now Brewers. And
I remember there were Reds also, and they were,
Been at BA longer than I have.
Yes.
But nothing has changed about the game day experience, except maybe some of the promotions that they do. Like, I could not imagine the Braves version of that team putting out the Brewers-themed alternate uniforms that they've had the last couple of years, which, and I will say as an aside, are the best alternate uniforms I have seen in my 15 years dealing with the minor leagues. I actually have a jersey and a hat in my closet, and I don't own jerseys ever. So again, kudos to whoever came up with that, because they are incredible.
Hey, the happy.
Yes, the micro brews. That's one of the best puns I've ever heard. The designer's slick. Everything worked about it. Grand slam, home run. Give them all the prizes. Anyway. Yeah, so that's a ray of sunshine in a very, very cloudy 10-day forecast. One thing we are also going to be talking about is instructs.
Before we do that, though, I do want to jump in and say we have to stop for a moment for our sponsor's message, because I do want to remind you that it's still summertime. It's ending up, but it's summertime, and at MyBookie, that can only mean one thing: it's winning season. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means free bets, super contests, Survivor, and more. At MyBookie, winning season is all about your chance to win big. You can bet the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball, UFC, now the NFL, and then some. The craziest sports summer of your lifetime is here. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash. Invest in your intuition. Select from hundreds of future bets, or you can bet games in real time with MyBookie's live betting. Put that big brain of yours to good use. Use promo code BASEBALLAMERICA, that's one word, BASEBALLAMERICA, and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. How that works is you will receive a 100% deposit match. You double your deposit up to $1,000. You put in $100, you get an extra $100 to play with. There are thousands of cross sports wagers, props, and parlays that await. Sign up now to bet with the best and celebrate your victory. Your winning season begins today, only at MyBookie. So now that we're back, Josh, as you've been reporting on, as you broke the news that instructs are go, set up that instructs can begin as early as September 18th. So they could, next Friday, we could be talking a week from now about instructs. I will say this right now, I'm going to make a prediction. A week from now on Friday, I don't expect that we'll be talking about games and instructs.
I think you're maybe right, but I don't think it's going to be far off from that. I've heard of one team that is beginning 2 days after that. So maybe not the 18th, but pretty close. But finding teams that are willing to do it is easy. But because this comes with increased costs this year, you have to pay the players at whatever level you say they would be at, and I hope there's no fudging of that, for the time they're at instructs. And these are going to be protracted instructs because they've missed an entire season of development. You have to pay them for that. You have to pay for the testing. I think you have to pay for some kind of housing and food. So this is going to be a very costly proposition for each big league team.
The estimates I've heard is $1 million potentially.
Yeah, at which... You know, you can look at it two ways. Major league clubs have $1 million. However, major league clubs have gotten very little revenue this year outside of television revenue. So
most of which will come in the playoffs, by the way.
Yes, costly proposition regardless. So you will be seeing some of these guys who didn't get to do any developing this year. You know, they weren't part of the chosen few at the alternate sites, get to do something. But, you know, if we took a straw poll today, I would say 30 out of 30 farm directors would want to do this. However, 30 out of 30 owners will not. I'm hearing...
Well, no, okay. I'm just making that clear. That doesn't mean 30 owners will say no, but that means you won't find 30 that
right.
will say yes.
Right. It would not be unanimous. I mean, some are... There are some who have been waiting for this moment all of their lives. and are ready to turn on the spigot right now and fund instructs and bring as many players as possible and within the parameters of the COVID-19 protocols. Other teams, it's like, you know, when you're a kid and you have to ask your parents for money, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And you never know quite when. But this is going to be huge for some of these players. You know, if you are certain players, you've been stuck at the team hotel because you couldn't go back to your home country. So you've been, you know, in a Marriott for 6 months, which, you know, I think every baseball person loves Marriott properties, but not 6 months of them.
And don't you say some of them may not be getting points, which is...
Yeah, I heard that they're not getting points.
As a baseball person, not getting Marriott points in a Marriott, it sounds like the...
That's a nightmare from which you would want to wake very quickly. But yeah, there are going to be some things going on, and that's going to be great, because some of these players who aren't at the alternate sites because of the way their teams were positioned for the expanded playoffs really do need development. There are high picks from last year's draft and from this year's draft who were not able to do anything outside of, you know, what they did as an amateur or at their local ball field or, you know, kind of baseball development facility, your driveline-esque facilities. So it's going to be huge for some of these guys who were needed to take big steps this year but didn't get the chance to. Then, you know, normally about this time too, we'd be talking about the Arizona Fall League. And that doesn't seem as likely. I haven't heard outright no, but in one farm director I talked to said, you know, I haven't heard a word about it, which is as damning as you can have.
Especially when normally we would have rosters by now and...
We'd be very close to opening day.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we'd be very close to open. I don't remember quite when it was, but it was sometime in mid to late September this year. I know because I had the hotel booked, but
September 18th, next Friday.
Days so instructs.
Yeah. I felt confident in saying there will not be instructs games being played next Friday. I feel way more confident in saying that there will not be Arizona Fall League games being played next Friday.
No, and that's, you know, if you listen to me on this podcast, you know that's it's a soft spot for me. Arizona Fall League, if you told me that it was 6 months of Arizona Fall League, I would sign up for that immediately because that's the best atmosphere in the country. Granted, it would be a lot hotter in the summer months than it usually is when I go down there, but whatever, you know, you deal with that. A day at Salt River Fields or a day at Sloan Park or a day at Scottsdale Stadium is better than a day at most any minor league park in this country. And I will stand by that. But it does not appear that that's going to happen this year. No, it's not an outright no, but not hearing a whole lot of yes either. So that's one avenue that probably won't happen. And that would have been an extremely costly proposition as well. So if you're going to send, you know, the same kids you would send to the Arizona Fall League to instructs, then what's the need for the Arizona Fall League? And if you're not going to pony up the money to do instructs, well, then you're certainly not ponying up the money for the Arizona Fall League. So you know, the movie isn't out, the script's been written, I think. So
unfortunately, I think that you're right there, that's where we're headed on the Arizona Fall League. I hope that's not the case. You know, obviously the other thing that we still could see this offseason is winter ball. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of opportunities. There may be less opportunities than normal for U.S.-based players because it does seem like that If you're a Dominican player who wants to play in the Dominican Winter League, it sounds like it may be one of the most star-studded Dominican Winter League seasons, potentially, health, you know, COVID allowing, that we've seen in a long time, back to, you know, the years where it used to be that the major leaguers would often play for a decent stretch during winter ball.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting too there. We'll see who gets in and who gets out and what that looks like, and who can go where based on COVID. I don't know. It's going to be tricky. But then there's another thing to look forward to that a farm director mentioned to me, and that is the post-New Year mini camps that some teams have been doing in the past. And, you know, he mentioned that those are still possibilities. You know, like the Giants last year, I think, held one after the New Year at Oracle. Park, is that what it's called now? In San Francisco, that's where, you know, Marco Luciano got his first taste of that ballpark before summer camp this year. So you could see more of those in play, but that's basically a longer version or a different version of Instructs after the holidays. But teams and players are going to need to make up development time, and they're going to need to make up development time in a hurry, because there's, you know, if you've heard any stories about the games at the alternate sites, you know, they're doing the best they can, but
those
it's
aren't
not
real games though.
No, they don't have enough players. They don't have, you have coaches playing defense. These are sim games. You've got catchers umpiring.
I mean, you say coaches playing defense, you have coaches playing defense, but you also have times where it's like, yeah, we don't have a shortstop or a third baseman. If you hit it over there, we'll just kind of, you know, we'll play old school, you know, in your backyard rules. Ah, that would have been an out.
Right. I mean, I had one farm director tell me my coaches have the range of Bartolo Colon, which not great. It's not what you want.
Hey,
and it's
hey,
not,
you're, you know, Bartolo can, you know, can always surprise.
Bartolo Colon always surprises. Just, it would be much more of a surprise if he surprised at shortstop.
I'd love to see it, but yeah.
You know, so the competition they're getting there is not great. And it's certainly not the volume that you would get during a regular season. You're going to have weird jumps and peaks and valleys and innings and at-bats from one year to another for guys. And it's just another prong of what is just a terrible year for player development and for everything everywhere, unless you are Jeff Bezos or someone founded Netflix or something like that. Those guys are doing well. But other than that, it's been the worst year in professional baseball that I can certainly remember. That first time, I think, if I remember the press release, that no MILB at all has been played since 1901.
But so, there was MILB baseball every year before 1901. It just wasn't organized enough to say that it was minor league baseball. It was town ball. So, yeah, we've never, I mean, basically since baseball was founded, this is the first time that we've done this. And I think that, Josh, I think that you have a smoke alarm in the background there that needs a new battery.
I think it just needs a personality check. It does that every so often, like once a month.
Excess carbon monoxide, you're worse.
My hot takes are very hot, is what it's telling me.
Okay, again, we don't know finality on almost anything. We are working on this. You have been reporting hard because I know people want the answer to the question, is my team playing Instructs? We can't answer that question yet. We've gotten a whole lot of answers of we hope so, but we're waiting for final approval. Is that the fair way to put it?
Yeah. There's a couple of exceptions, but I would say two of the 30 teams I'm certain are going to be doing something very soon. But other than that, I've got a list of teams that are hopeful, a list of teams that are probably not, but maybe not a no. And then I've only heard of a couple like definite no's.
Even the definite no's aren't definitive enough for us to yet say.
Report them, yeah.
Right. But okay, if you are going to take an educated guess though at this point, are we talking that 75% of teams will have Instructs, 50%? What's your thought?
I would say it's greater than 50. I'll put it that way. Like I'm not sure it's 75, and I don't know what the difference is going to be between guys playing games with other teams or just intra-squads or, whatever.
I mean, again, the other thing that is an option here. So
let me say this. The two teams that I am 100% sure are playing do not need to travel to play one another. They're on the same campus.
But here's the thing. There's also the option. Teams can play it at their spring training complexes, Arizona or Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Or teams can do it at their alt site once the alt site effectively is shut down, which is really, you know, the season wraps up September 27th. So the alt sites aren't going to be going on for much longer. That said, if you decide to do this at your alternate site, it almost immediately rules out the idea of playing other teams. If you play in Arizona, you play in Florida, it's much more likely that you will play other teams in And if you want to turn this into like a mini minor league season to get your pitchers and position players game-like action, that's much more likely to happen if you're doing it at your complexes than it is at an all-site, right?
Right. You know, in the Northeast, they're clustered as such that, you know, if the Yankees and Phillies wanted to hold theirs at the all-site, that's Lehigh Valley and Scranton, which already play each other infinite amounts of times during the regular season.
Yeah, but even not, then, you're still talking more travel than
in Clearwater, Tampa, correct. I've heard of a couple teams that are scheduled to shut their alternate sites on the 18th, which kind of tips their hand a little bit, I think, but not enough that I'm willing to call their bluff. If I can possibly make a poker metaphor, I'm not a gambler, but and there's clues out there. There's a lot of tea leaves, but there's not enough to make tea. If you continue my metaphor train. But where I'm texting people, I'm being very annoying to a lot of people, I imagine. And I'm getting a lot of conflicting information. Like I heard one team one day say, okay, we're hoping to do it for about 6 weeks. And I heard 2 days later, someone else told me that team did not get front office approval and will not be doing it at all. So,
and I don't know. Next week you may hear, no, we're back on.
Oh no, and next week we'll maybe hear the coronavirus is gone forever and bam, let's just start this all up. That's where we are at this point. But it's going to be kind of a wild goose chase until, you know, a week from today when we are going to have potentially teams starting to play, or at least, you know, down there getting heights and weights and all sorts of good stuff done. I've heard of team of players, you know, getting ready to fly into whichever site to, you know, do their intake, probably test it, get quarantined for a little bit, do all that good stuff. And then it's off to the races. And the best part about this too, well, one of the best parts about this too, is the professional scouts can actually go to these games. The caveat is you can bar pro scouts from your facility, but if you do that, then your pro scouts can't go anywhere else. They have to just sit on the bench regardless. And as you've known from previous podcasts, pro scouts this year have been more or less confined to their couch, if not worse this year, if they're lucky enough. They're part of the unlucky groups that have been furloughed or laid off. These guys can actually go watch games in person.
And this is probably the perfect place to end this with me ranting a little bit on this, which is that, so we didn't have pro scouts in parks, big league parks, or outsides, but especially, you know, not in either in the lead up to the trade deadline. But I would say it's as significant and as important that right now, as we are sitting here 2 weeks away from the end of the regular season, the start of a 16-team playoff system, that scouts are not allowed in the park. Mascots are, but scouts are not.
Some teams are adding mascots.
You know, and again, I saw the, was that a D-backs rat or whatever? You know, that
yes,
one.
That's Rat Leon, which is a bad pun, a split the two words, rattle on.
Right, but whatever, like, I've seriously had scouts, like, I would dress up as a mascot to be able to scout. But I just want to point out, there are things, the value of finding something as an advanced scout that can help your team win a game in the playoffs can really arguably be numbered in millions of dollars. Not, it's worth a couple of bucks here or there. Like, the value of, if that means the difference between advancing to the World Series or not, and what that means for a franchise. But also on top of that, the fact that this is a sport and that we play to win the games and that matters. There are things that you can pick up as an advanced scout that you cannot pick up on video. You know why? Because you don't have video pointing everywhere at all times. Video, understandably, follows the ball. It follows the batter. That's where the video is generally pointed. Or if not, it's at such a wide shot that you can't pick up those little, very minute things that may be the difference of, for instance, a fielder who's tipping because of the way he sets up differently from pitch to pitch and he knows what pitch is coming. Or, you know, again, especially a pitcher, like you catch something, you know what, sometimes these scouts can, like, they'll the first 5 or 6 times are like, why do I know that that's a changeup? And then they figure it out. Now, some of that you can pick up on video, but There are things like looking at how the outfield, what the outfielders are doing, looking at what the fielders are doing, a variety of these things that you simply cannot pick up on video. That are, there are advanced scouts, there are pro scouts who would, as I've tweeted, would earn their yearly salary by the insights they would gather by being in the park over the next, you know, few weeks. And I've had them tell me, like I've had scouts tell me, oh yeah, I could, I know I helped win a game, you know, in the playoffs a few years ago because of this thing I saw. Like you, there's a lot of that. And that's not going to be, that's not being allowed this year. And that does, you know, that's disappointing because again, this is Major League Baseball, Major League Baseball playoffs. The season does still count. And I just wish that everyone, as best, as safely as we could, would be allowed to do their job.
You know, you said something in the course of that rant, you know, you called back to you play to win the game. And I think you can encapsulate a lot of the problems in our game right now by saying that there are or is a group of owners who do not play to win the game. They play to balance the checkbook or to maximize profit. And that's really it. The numbers on their financial ledger at the end of the year are more important than the numbers in their team standings in the division and whether or not they advance to the playoffs or win a title. And I don't think there's a whole lot of people who can flat out refute there is a group of owners that think that way. And it's sad.
I don't know owners enough to know. I mean, to be honest, I that may be true. That may not. I don't know. I don't know balance sheets when it comes to MLB owners because I know that MLB owners legitimately are losing a significant amount of money this year.
Oh, for sure.
They also own billion-dollar franchises. You know, if you lose some millions, but you've gained $500 million valuation over, you know, a course of time, it's a little easier to take. But all that being said, I just look at it and say, maybe I'm missing something. I've asked a lot of people and I haven't heard an answer that refutes this. I don't think that adding pro scouts into empty stadium seats is going to add to the risk of a coronavirus outbreak. And I say this partly because I know that there are pro scouts in seats at independent games with fans around them, and it hasn't led to massive coronavirus outbreaks. So, you know, that's my rant to wrap this up. So we will be obviously continuing to cover everything that's happening in the minors. You know, it's going to be a busy few weeks coming up because whether there's a deal or not a deal, there's going to be a lot going on in minor league baseball and good minor league baseball for 2021 and beyond. So we will be covering that.
And then guess what's next? What? Prospect season.
Yeah, we've got prospect season coming up, but we'll also have, you will be staying on top of, we hope next week to have a list of here are the teams that are having instructs and when it starts. Here are the teams, and I guess also where they're having those instructs, and here are the teams who are not having instructs. And so we hope to have that next week. We've been working on that for 10 days now, and we're getting closer to being able to answer that, we think.
I hope we are.
I do too. But for, you know, we got a lot of other stuff going up at baseballamerica.com. As always, we thank you to our subscribers because you are the ones who allow us to do what we do. And if you're not a subscriber, you can go to baseballamerica.com right now, click on the store, and you can join the loyal, the ones who are not only getting a lot of great content, you're getting a lot of great content if you are a subscriber of baseballamerican.com, but also ensuring that we continue to do a lot of what we would think of as, in baseball terms, important stuff, like this reporting that we're doing on the minor leagues. This is important stuff. There are not a whole lot of outlets out there doing this. And so we want to continue to do this the way we do. And again, we thank you. That's what has allowed us to keep rolling on throughout this coronavirus pandemic as we have. We also want to remind you that this Baseball America podcast is sponsored by MyBookie. So for Josh, I'm JJ. So long, everybody.